Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming, with your host, Shannon Holiday, and me, Letitia Thomas.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Binge List and Box Office Hits, the podcast about all things film, TV and streaming. I'm your host, Shannon Holiday, and I'm joined once again in the studio with Letitia Thomas. How are we doing today, Tish?
We're great.
We're doing very well this morning.
Yep.
Yeah, we've had a bit of coffee.
We have had coffee.
A bit of sugar, and we're raring to go into it. I'm actually very excited for this episode. And as we were discussing before we started recording, you're going in blind, basically, and I've got all the lore to talk about.
Yeah, I purposely did zero research. I watched the show and that was it.
And that was on purpose.
And I asked you one question before the show came out and I said, hey, you know that guy with the thumbs up? Yeah, is he a character? And you went, no.
No.
I went, okay, well, I don't know anything about this.
Oh,
well, then
I know even less than I did before. And we'll get into that topic a little bit later. Let me know what's been happening this week with you, Letitia. Give me a tale.
It's been a weird week. Found out I'm more blind than I thought. Dropped too much money on new glasses. So shout out to all the blind people out there.
Yeah, optometrist visit cost you plenty.
That was a nightmare. So now I'm just like, cool. I'll just, I guess, walk around now knowing that I'm blind for like 2 weeks until I can get decent glasses and see. So that was like the main event. And then I've just been trying to spend no money and just thinking about how much it costs to live in this economy right now.
Oh yeah, good luck with that. Yep. So 2 minute noodles for the rest of the month until you save back up again.
It's fine. I get paid Tuesday. So
weekly pay. Let me know what that's like.
Yeah, I'm
moving on.
I got public holiday pay. It's great.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that would
be a fantastic show holiday in town.
That's true. I worked it, even though I live here. I just, look, it was easier too. It's fine. Moving on. This week, I went to the cinemas this week. Not with you. I went with my housemate, Ben. We went and we saw another Monkey Madness movie. Monkey Madness month, Monkey Madness year. We went and saw Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And if anyone who's not aware of like where this sits, there was obviously a trilogy of movies in the past like decade or so that had Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and War of the Planet of the Apes. And that's like a cohesive trilogy of the ape Caesar's journey in the kind of lead up to the downfall of humanity and the rise of the apes. This one's set 300 years after Caesar's reign as like leader of the apes. So it's definitely like a few generations later. It's like different ape clans, and some of them have different viewpoints of Caesar's teachings, and they use the word of Caesar in different manipulative ways to what they want.
Interesting.
Very interesting take. And I was like, I've heard this story before. Yeah, this has some very real world political kind of commentary in it. That kind of, grabbed me a little bit. And because I already liked the ape movies, I watched them recently, all three of them in a row. And I was like, okay, this is actually a really good trilogy when you watch all three of them together. It makes sense.
Whoa.
Wild, right? Concept. It's like wish Star Wars sequels kind of looked into that. But moving on. Yeah, it was really good. It was a really good story. Obviously, it's not just an ape adventure story. There's lots of little different layers and social commentary throughout this film. The characters of, there was obviously a human character, which is heavily publicized in the marketing, played by Freya Allen, the character of May. She's actually quite layered as well. She's got like different objectives that she needs to do in the movie, and you kind of only kind of get that uncovered at certain points, and it kind of adds to the story. I liked it. I thought it was a very, very good layered movie. Not as maybe perfect as the trilogy was, but saying that, it's the first in a new trilogy. So could see it better as a collective whole when the other two movies come out. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I do really want to watch these movies one day, but I don't actually know if I will watch them. It's one of those ones where you're like, they sound interesting. and then you think about actually sitting down and watching them and you're like, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen.
Well, I'd seen Rise way back in 2012 when it came out, And then I don't think I saw Dawn at all, and I saw parts of War, but then I knew that Kingdom was coming up in about 2 months' time when I kind of sat down to watch these. So I gave myself time to kind of dissect, get into it, know, understand the whole world going into Kingdom. So I kind of gave myself a reason to rewatch them.
Yeah, no, look, that's fair.
Yeah. I will be doing a like review, a little video review on our Instagram for that. By the time this goes out, I'm hoping to have Challengers up, The Fall Guy, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and potentially even Furiosa, because Furiosa will be out by the time this episode goes live. So I'm hoping to have all four up as movie reviews.
No, that should be good. I forgot to mention, I mentioned this to you earlier this week. I've got a bone to pick with Marvel, because they've roped me back in. Also, I've got a bone to pick with Apple News, because why did this not come up in my movie thing when I was going through it? And then
was
I went
it
on
Apple News that told
you? No, and then I went on Variety because I was like looking it up at work because I was bored. I love my job. Anyway, and I was like looking at Variety and stuff, and then nothing came up with that, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I got on Twitter when I went home, because I'm old and I just do it on the computer now. And thank God I still keep that stuff, because that's where I get all my news. They have thrown, God help me, because I'm, is it going to go to the cinemas, the Fantastic Four?
Yes, it is.
you can cut that whole swear out. They've roped Natasha Lyonne into it. So
they have. Natasha Lyonne's going to be in the Fantastic Four.
And you know,
Four.
She's going to be in it for about 2 bloody minutes.
Yeah, yep. 100%. It'll be a cameo. Not at all.
Who cares? I'll be there.
We'll need to find out which character is, because they've already announced who the Fantastic Four is. Maybe she's the villain. Imagine if she's the villain.
Actually, she needs to be a villain in something.
That's what I mean.
She's like mental enough that we're just...
It would work. I think it would actually be really good to see her as a villain.
I want to see her as
Marvel
a villain. Yeah. Because like, I mean, they're not really her shtick, but you know what? Everyone does something for money.
Everyone does a Marvel movie.
Why do you think she did American Pie?
It was for money, because she wasn't very big back then.
She was huge. She just done a, now he's not cool, but like a Woody Allen picture. Like she'd done heaps of stuff.
Before American Pie? Okay.
She's been acting since she was like three or four. And they were like, hey, like come do these movies. And she said no like 4 times. And then they said, hey, there's a paycheck. She's like, I understand these movies.
I'm in them.
I understand.
I remember she was back in the third one, American Reunion.
Isn't it like 5 minutes?
It's literally
I've seen that 5 minutes
five
on YouTube
minutes
or something.
Like 2 lines. That's yeah. it. Just to have her be
to
in
come
it.
Back. Yeah.
It's yeah.
I think, did I watch American Pie for her?
Of course you did. Why else would you?
Yeah, but that's a good point. No, but I think this was when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Look, funny films.
I don't think it was intentional.
No. Unconscious about it.
Very much so.
I was going to talk to the audience about this, and we've discussed it a little bit. We're going to be brainstorming after this session a little bit of stuff. I know your brain was like, what are we talking about?
What is he telling people?
Obviously, I'm doing the movie reviews for the TikTok and Instagram reels. What we're going to be adding in, like probably maybe in between these, is probably going to be doing like top 10 lists, a little bit of like TikTok, like, hey, check this out from the both of us. So you'll get to see a little bit of Letitia's face on our TikToks and Instagram reels.
We're diversifying. No, I'm kidding.
We're expanding. So we're coming up with brainstorming some ideas to put those together. And also, keep a lookout. We're about to start up a YouTube channel. We're going to be doing the best of the first half of 2024 as a video review. And we're going to be sitting down and nutting that out in the next couple of weeks and working out how to make that look great and what it's going to look like. And yeah, we're going to start video reviewing some stuff and maybe getting some content up there. So exciting expansions soon.
Yeah, I have little to say on this in that fact that Shannon and I haven't really discussed what that looks like yet.
No,
so
we haven't. This is very bare bones. We've just gone, we should maybe do this. And we've gone, yeah?
Yeah.
And today's going to be like more of a brainstorming
session. If we brainstorm and decide it's crap, we'll cut this bit out.
Well, we can't, because I'm not going to edit it before it even happens. So we'll see. We'll see. It's exciting stuff happening in the future.
Yeah, no, it should be good.
Doing.
I watched a couple other things. Like I watched a lot this week for upcoming episodes, there's no point having a big chit chat about those. But I'd seen that you watched Turtles All the Way Down. And I was vaguely curious, and I was like, instead of asking Shannon what he thought,
I'll just watch it. Yeah.
I didn't mind this one actually.
Yeah, I didn't mind it
thought
either.
Of all the John Green adaptations that I've seen, which is a bit because I was a teenager when his films were coming out, I think this is the one I have enjoyed the most. Because I watched I think I watched 5 minutes of The Fault in Our Stars, of which was my least favorite of his books. And then I went, I can't do this. I can't watch this.
No.
I watched Paper Towns. Didn't love that. And then I've watched part of Looking for Alaska, the TV show, but I was just disappointed because like every other girl at that age, I wanted Kaya Scodelario to play Effie. She's Effie in Skins, but she was the same character in the thing. And we're all like, yes, this would be great. And obviously it never happened.
No.
I didn't mind this film, actually. I think maybe because it's the most possibly honest from John Green, because I think he's OCD.
He's got OCD, actually. He said it was more of a self autobiographical take on what he's done. And yeah, I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. I thought Isabella Merced did a fantastic job of portraying someone with OCD, anxiety, all those kind of traits.
Yeah, like obviously it's very much like teeny, but I think this one had enough honesty in it that made it watchable as like a 20 something, 30 something, as opposed to like, you know, like obviously when the other ones were coming out, the teenager's age, and I was like, I'm not really into this, but.
Yeah, it's still a teen coming of age film, but just like, you know, with more honesty in it. I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I think it was a bit more grounded than his other ones because he very much like romanticized teenage years.
The Fault in Our Stars? Like, get out of here. Like, just yeah, the name itself.
I went through a John Green phase right before they got massive because a friend of mine, he was like, I've read these books, like you should read them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I read them and I was like, whoa.
And then
my grandma read some and she's like, What is this?
Trash.
Poor grandma. She was always curious. Oh, are the kids reading? And then sometimes she's like, what are the kids reading?
This, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was fun. I would say it's not a perfect film, but it's definitely enjoyable enough to sit down and, you know, kind of spend 2 hours watching.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be a lot worse.
Yeah, it's a HBO Max / in Australia binge kind of release. So it's straight to streaming. I think that's probably the perfect place for it. I don't think it's big enough for your cinema releases. I liked it. The dynamic between the friends was really cool. The love interest was bizarre. Like that whole kind of mystery background story that they're...
Very John Green.
Yeah, it's like a reason to have these two people together is his dad goes missing and he's like a billionaire and he's on the run because of a money issue. And yeah, it's very bizarre.
Very John Green. There's always like some bizarre,
over
bigger than life mystery going on.
Yeah. And he takes her to Chicago at one point for a day trip on like their private jet.
Because who doesn't want the romance, Shannon? That's what every young girl wants.
Okay. All right. That's right. We watched Twilight recently. I forgot. The vampires. I'm sparkling in the sunlight. This is the skin of a killer, Bella.
I had a random thought the other day because I'm mental. And I was like, oh, yeah, because I've got hemochromatosis, which is too much iron. I was like, I would have a healthy relationship with a vampire. We'd be fine.
We would be fine. Yeah, that's a weird take, Tish.
I was mowing the lawn, okay?
Too many intrusive thoughts.
Yeah. This is what it's like.
It is. It's all the time. This is a barrage.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. And then I hate watched The Girl in the Spider's Web last night.
I saw that logged on your letterbox and I was going to ask you, is that because did you watch the Fincher one first or anything or why?
I've seen every other adaptation of these films and then I've read all of the books. And a customer was asking for it yesterday and I thought, I've not seen that one. And then I went on Letterboxd and there was a lot of mental reviews about how bad it was. And I went,
Is it really that bad?
Yeah. And I was like, I want to also be in on this. If you haven't seen my Letterboxd, go check it out. I left a cheeky review.
I saw your review.
A bit too cheeky for this podcast.
I'll ask for it about that later.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, it was bad. So basically there's the Swedish original trilogy are very good. But I also love David Fincher and I think the film he made was a fantastic like American version because usually they're worse.
Yeah, usually.
But I have a soft spot for it. I really love it. It's not perfect in concept, but it's a brilliant adaptation. And then I was like, okay, I'll watch this. And it was so like, okay, the David Fincher's one is based on the first book, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Yeah. This is based on the fourth book, The Girl in the Spider's Web, which was written by another guy because the original guy, David something Swedish, died. So it doesn't make sense in that regard.
It's not the same writing style.
And then the book was different, but this film takes it like then to the extreme and it's very much like a James Bond-esque type. Like that's her character.
Yeah,
which isn't. The first one is just she's like an outcast who's had misfortune, which is why you like her. And also she can hold her own against really like just like horrific, tragic, traumatic circumstances. And she holds her own. You're like, good for you. Like you can, you know, get through it and stand up for yourself and whatever. And then this is just like part hero. And then I don't know. There's so much wrong with the book anyway that then to make it into a movie was just bits were missing.
Yeah.
But okay. Then like the whole plot was gone and like you couldn't like her as a character. There was no like emotional tie. It was just a mess.
It's Claire Foy, right?
Yeah. I mean,
usually she's a great actress.
She's a great actress, yeah. But just because there was no original material, I think, for her to work on as an origin of that character, she's playing it so far down the line. So far in advance,
yeah.
But then there's none of that exploration in this film because it's supposed to be a direct sequel because it's still the same trilogy. People, but they got rid of everyone. It
was a weird choice to be made.
Weird choice, and then didn't land. And they were like, oh, because the Fincher one like flopped box office wise. Yeah. So they like used half the budget for this, but then this also flopped.
Yeah. Get even a quarter of that for the next one.
There were so many bad decisions to make this film. But now I've seen it, so I can have an honest hate opinion.
You can
on it.
Tell them not to buy it the next time a customer comes in.
I also was like, hey, also this one's great. So he bought the first one too.
The Fincher one?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
So I tried to pitch
one out of the two.
The Swedish version as well, but he was like, I'll start with this. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay. It's a good starting point.
I did also mention, well, that's the fourth one and this is the first one.
In the book timeline.
The whole it's
yeah, it's I don't need. Okay. It's,
yep.
Moving on. Just watch the Swedish ones if you want the collective story.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll get into a Fincher one down the line.
Up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing the Fincher one.
They are full on though. Fincher.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I wanted to read them at 13. Grandma said no. And I was like, what do you mean, Grandma? I can now handle you know, it. And then like, I read them at 18 fair. And I was like, oh, no, that was a good call actually.
Yeah. I'll. That's fair. Yep. That's fair. So we've had a bit of an eventful week on watching things and consuming and all that jazz. I think it's time to get into the main topic.
I think so.
Yeah.
We've babbled for a bit.
We have babbled. People like our babbling. I hope.
Yeah.
Who knows? Okay, so this week we're talking about the TV show Fallout. So this is the brand new TV show that got added to Amazon Prime in about April 10, I think, this year. Mm-hmm. Been out for about a month now. By the time this goes live, about 2 months.
So lots of spoilers. And if you haven't seen it, then watch it and come back.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk spoilers because we're going to talk about the season as a whole and probably a little bit of comparisons to the games and the lore and all that jazz and go from there.
Yeah, I've got a lot of questions for you.
Good. Please ask. But the first thing I'm going to ask you is what did you think going into this, not knowing anything about Fallout, how did you enjoy the series? No background.
Probably wouldn't have watched this if you didn't ask me to.
Okay. Well,
I was curious and then I watched the first episode and I was kind of like,
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. And you said, Tish, you've said, let's do an episode. So
you're going to finish it. We're doing it. Yeah.
And I went, okay, fair enough.
How'd you feel about it after the journey? Same feeling? Did it change?
Yeah. Look, it's not my favorite thing, but then it's not the kind of TV that I normally gravitate towards anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
That being said, I'm not mad that I watched it because I do like watching a bunch of stuff that I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, I always try and probe you a little bit here and there to watch something that know that isn't your
this
trend.
This isn't my thing. Yeah, yeah.
I definitely go, hey, I know it's not, but maybe check it out. I do that. You do that to me as well.
Oh, I definitely do.
Yeah, I think it's good. We work off each other that way.
You better, Shannon, no.
No, it's expanding our palette.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. Like, not this show wasn't for me.
No.
But I did see a lot of merit in some bits, and there's other bits that I'm like, I think sometimes maybe there's holes for a viewer if you haven't played the games.
That's my next question.
And I did want to ask some questions, yeah.
My next question for you, though, is did you understand what the TV show was trying to do and the style it was trying to hit?
Sometimes.
Even when you finished?
Sometimes I understood it and sometimes I didn't understand it because obviously there's a lot that would make sense if you played the game. Yeah. Like I'm still not 1,000% sure what the and I'm not, I don't actually know what it's called, but the fish, mutated fish thing.
Mm.
I'm still a bit confused about that because there's the one that she throws that eats the head and nearly her. And then they're like part mutated in one of the vaults with, but I'm still like a little bit not sure what that was.
Don't overthink it. That is basically, no, well, yeah, they were the scientific vault.
Yeah, see this.
So they were.
I've got a lot of questions.
Okay, ask me. Go for it. Go for it.
Because obviously there's like multiple stories playing out within the show.
Yeah.
In terms of, and different characters drive each bit because you've got the vault story.
Vault dwellers, they're called.
Yeah, and that whole story. Yep. And then you've got the Brotherhood.
Yep, Brotherhood of Steel.
And then they sort of come together because obviously she goes to the surface. Then there's all like the surface story where she's trying to get her dad back. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they're all tied up quite nicely. I did appreciate that.
It was really good actually, yeah.
By the end, it was a bit contrived, but they did kind of do it all. And I was like, you know what, fair. This isn't supposed to be like fantastic TV in terms of like high concept. It's just fun. So I did appreciate how it all came together. But yeah, there's just bits where I'm like just confused because there's so many different vaults. And then I'm like,
yep.
Was it just people essentially preppers that decided we're going to have vaults? So therefore there was different politics in each vault. Because I know some of them are connected because obviously there's the tri-vault scenario. With the 33, 32 so, and 31. And that was a mess. Like, I mean, great story, but like a lot's going on. Yeah. It's messy logistically to live there. But then other vaults are doing different stuff and I'm just like, is there one overarching politics with that?
Do you remember the scene? It's in the last episode when the Walter Goggins' character, the ghoul, back in the is listening in on that meeting at Vault Tech and it's his wife down there.
Yep.
And do you remember how there's the meeting with all the other major kind of defense companies?
Yeah, so is this like where West they decide Tech. Like we're going to start again?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what happened, like they've got about 122 vaults around America and what she's saying is she's like, for us to work, we're going to give you a set amount of vaults each to all these other companies still under the Vault Tech kind of banner. And they're having that conversation about like, what's the perfect view of how to continue on this country?
Yeah.
That's why there's so many different experimental versions of these vaults. They're
trying to figure out the best one.
They're trying to work out what's their version of the best utopia on the way to progress America after the nuclear fallout happens and to continue on after the wasteland stuff. So like West Tech might have an X amount of vaults and that's why theirs is like weird like version of it because they are experimenting and they're trying to see what happens in their vault. The vault dwellers don't know this.
No, of course not.
At the same time, they're all experimental.
Yeah.
So yeah, all these different companies have all these set amount of vaults trying to work out the best way to progress.
I have a second question. This first season of Fallout, is this sort of based on the first game lore or is it just we're taking aspects of the Fallout universe and putting it all into one game, one show?
Yeah, so it's the second part. It's basically taking lore and kind of ideals from all the Fallout games and putting it in its own thing.
Okay.
The story of this takes place after all the other games.
Oh, okay.
So the timeline, the bombs drop in 2077 or 76, which is why I think it's called Fallout 76, one of the games, which is, a lot like 200 years later is when Fallout game series happens, which is 2096 or 97. All four of those other games or five games in the Fallout series happen in between those time periods as well and in usually different locations in America. So 76, Fallout 76 takes place in West Virginia, hence the song.
Yes. We played that earlier.
Fallout New Vegas, pretty obvious.
That's where the old mate's going then. Yeah. One of the guys I work with was mentioning that because he's like, did you? I'm like, what? No,
the reference he just ran off. New Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, no, that was like an Easter egg.
Yeah.
But
because there's a whole game based around
New Vegas.
Yeah. Fallout 4 takes place in Boston, and this one takes place in the greater Los Angeles area, which is pretty obvious with most of the locales that happen. So they do take place all around America and all around at different times. So when the TV show came out, it's not taking like, you know, this is the first Fallout game, just as a TV show. It's basically, it's still in the canon of the Fallout lore because it takes place at a different time, different location, just its own story, which is great. It doesn't constrict it to going, well, that's what happened in the first game. We need to do this. It can do whatever it wants.
Because did you love Fallout, this show? Like, what was your experience?
Yeah, I loved it.
I think that's what this does. And this is never a bad thing to do it for the fans, but I think where it failed as a show is there wasn't enough, in my opinion, as someone who doesn't know the lore, there wasn't maybe enough emotional drive for the characters for me to want to go on the journey because I wasn't watching it going, oh, that's that, oh, here's this. And I was
from
just-
someone who's played the games, you see little things here and there and go, oh, I know what that
it's
is.
It's for you guys.
That's
you fantastic. Get the little chuckle, I feel valid. Yeah. But I just think if they do a second season, which what I want to see in this-
Well, the greenlit it.
Is I want more emotional drive so I care for the characters. Because that's what I think is missing a little bit. Because like, what's her name? Yeah, Lucy. Like the whole thing was like, oh, I'm a fish out of water in this new world. Yeah. And my dad's.
Which is most what vault dwellers are.
Yeah, and my dad's, you know, on the line. I need to go save him. But I forgot a lot of the time that she was emotionally invested in saving her dad. Yeah. Her brother had a good emotional story.
I liked his. I thought his was good. Yeah, I really liked
I want to see more of that kind of thing with the leads because then I'm in. Then I'm 1,000% in.
I think they've left stuff purposely out to kind of continue that drive into seasons two and onwards because obviously with the ghouls character, you don't know what happens to his family yet. You kind of get an idea of where they might be. They're probably going to be in that vault where the brother ends up. Because that's the vault where all the big leaders of Vault-Tec froze themselves.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
So she's probably in there. But you don't know what happens to the daughter. You don't know. So there's like his journey isn't done yet.
No.
Which is great because there's, you know, little threads that are going to end up in
he
other seasons.
He was a good villain, I found.
He was a great villain.
As it went on, I suddenly was like, oh, I get it. And the fact that Lucy ends up seeing not herself in him, but what this, you know, world does to her and what she's willing to do. I think that was quite good. I did enjoy it. I just think.
I don't even think he's such a layered character. I wouldn't even call him a villain, quote unquote. He's definitely like, I wouldn't even say a hero, anti-hero. Mm. No, he's on his own journey and he has reasons to act the way he does.
Yeah, no, he's the villain in her story in this season as the lead.
The finger part.
Oh, that was just, there's nothing. There's some things in this world that's just so bizarre that aren't, no one cares about. Everyone just moves on. Yeah. And I'm still like, babe, you've got someone else's finger.
Oh yeah, that's completely.
It's like, oh well, see, she's so chill about it, right?
I mean, it's part that, it's part that this is just how the vibe of the games are as well. It's such a like, because the vibe of the story is, like I said earlier, it's like retro futuristic. It's apocalyptic, but it's also like vintage at the same time.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
But it's also like it's got this layer of shine, but it's also really gritty at the same time. It's got it plays really well on both those kind of balancing points. So the vibe of some of the stuff that happens in the show is in my opinion, they did it perfectly in terms of adapting that. So
there were bits that I enjoyed. Like sometimes I was confused, but then other moments I was like, I'm starting to settle into this world. If it did take me a bit, it was a bit jarring because 1 minute it's one way and then the next minute it's like
completely the point.
Very the next. And I'm like, what is going on? I do love that she nearly got eaten in two shows that she's been in recently. I'm like, true. Oh, cannibalism. I'm back.
Yep, you've got Yellow Jackets and then this.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what?
I saw a quote the other day, randomly. I saw a quote, I think I was on like Twitter or something, and it was like, with the popularity of Fallout, Yellow Jackets needs Ella Purnell back. And I'm like, oh, brother, that ain't going to happen. I don't know if you've seen the show, but she can't come back.
Jackie got eaten.
Jackie is not coming back anytime soon.
Although I think they will put Jackie in it in moments because she plays a bit for Shauna as a memory. Anyway, forgetting Yellow Jackets because I'm about to go on a tangent.
They could do flashbacks still.
Because that's gone into before production for season three.
So did see that. Very excited for that.
Back to
her being in Fallout. Perfect. I think she did quite well as the Vault Dweller because pretty much every single game, it starts off the same kind of way. You're in a vault and you're one of the Vault Dwellers. There's different reasons why you get kind of taken out of the vault. The one in Fallout 4 is really cool. You start off playing the game and while the bombs are dropping, you have to make your way to Vault 111.
Cool.
Which is really cool. It's awesome. But then you get put into the cryo, and when you're getting put in the cryo, you're looking across at your wife and child, and someone like unfreezes that one and steals your child and then kills your wife while you're watching. And then you get let out of the cryo yourself. So then you want to leave the vault and then you go out into the wasteland and you're trying to find your child essentially. That's the drive of the story of Fallout 4. There's billions other stories that you get involved with while you're on the surface, but that's essentially why you've left the vault. So similar things, like something happens in a vault like Lucy and then she has to leave, which I think is cool. So it portrays it quite well. And with the games, you start off really underpowered, underleveled, and then you kind of build on that and build up levels so you get better you know, defeating certain things. The same thing happens to Lucy. Like at the start, she is wildly naive to the world and thinks everyone is like a vault dweller. Just super happy to see everyone. Yeah,
to see that juxtaposed.
Yeah. And then towards the end of the series, she's got a more level head. Like she's not perfect yet. She's still, you know, has a bit of hope, but
she's very pretentious in, I guess because she was essentially quote unquote royalty within the vault.
Yeah.
Because daddy was the leader.
Yeah.
And then she gets thrown into the world. It's like, yeah, you're below nothing up here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vault
dwellers are like the common things like, oh, you guys are still around. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's funny.
If you could, so, okay, if you're in this world and you get dropped in, right, and you've got a choice to either slum it out on the surface.
Or be a vault dweller.
Or be a vault dweller. What do you think, you as a person, what do you think you would choose?
It's hard because obviously vault dweller is like the obvious answer, but then with some of the experiments you hear happening in some of the vaults, because when you explore the wasteland in some of the games, you get to go to other vaults and some of them are horrific what happens inside them in the experiments.
So if it's like a semi-decent one, you know, like what's his face gets dropped in one, what's his name, the dude?
Maximus.
He ends up in one for a while and he's like,
oh, he thinks it's great.
He's like, yeah. Like, what do you reckon you would do as a person?
In that particular situation where, you know, a nuclear wasteland is above you, I'd probably take a vault. So considering knowing what some of the monsters and creatures and people can do to you on the surface, yeah, I'd probably take a vault. Although, at the same time, exploring the wasteland is a pretty cool idea if you survive it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I don't know. I think I have a innate, unfortunate thing where I'm like, nah, let's slum it up there.
You don't want to slum it?
You know? And I'm like, what is that?
You haven't even been made aware of like a death claw yet. So just wait till that turns up in season two.
Yeah, but I think if I knew that there was, you know, I don't know. I don't think I'm not very good at like romanticizing and just being like, you know what? I'm good down here. Just pretending.
Well,
that
it's very much like
the chaos isn't happening.
It's like surviving, but is it living?
Yeah. You know?
It's that. It's like, yes, you're going to be alive, but are you really living?
I'm not really good with the whole like, I know something fishy's going on and no one's addressing it thing.
Yeah, those little societies where it's like, no, this is sinister, but you're making it look
like
it's
super. Yeah, I don't
super.
Do well with that. I think I would just be like, I don't think I'd last for long. The mind games too much. I'd rather just.
The cousin stuff.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Bring that up quickly.
I started.
That's a great in the first episode.
I was like,
I want to try this for real. No more cousin stuff.
And I was like,
what? Hang on. We're just going to move past that.
I was
that?
Like, is this like, okay, is this the tone of this show?
Yeah.
I was like,
which it is.
Right. Cool. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Raider thing, like when it was a plot twist to work out that it was actually Raiders that were.
Oh, coming in.
Coming in instead of Vault 32.
Yeah.
That was a cool little twist because, yeah, raiders are a huge thing on the surface. They just try and steal your stuff, basically.
I don't blame
them. They're pretty vicious characters. So, yeah, that was really cool, I thought.
The first episode was quite gritty.
Yeah.
In terms of like, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, no, that was a massacre. She can hold her own. What? Who's this? And then, yeah.
Yeah, so.
She leaves her brother behind.
Well, she leaves her brother behind.
And her cousin.
And her cousin.
Her brother cousin?
Brother cousin?
We don't know. That's my other thing because they're like, oh, we've been in this vault for hundreds of years. And I know that they're supposed to interact with other vaults to like, you know, the gene pool gets bigger. But that's still a pretty limited gene pool.
That's exactly right.
And that was always like.
And that's, I think that's the point they were trying to make with that one line.
Yeah.
And move past it super quickly.
Because I was like, I don't know much about genetics except that I do. And
except let's just move past.
This pool isn't big enough.
No.
Yep.
And that's another
thing.
But
they seem fine. They seem fine.
They seem fine.
There's weirder things going on in other vaults, like the guy at the Cyclops.
That's because they're from the experimental science.
Oh, no, definitely.
Vault.
Also, there's cults going on. Always a cult in the apocalypse.
Which one were the cults? The
Moldaver.
Sorry.
Yeah. Who was maybe in love with her mother? What was that story?
I think she was.
Yeah, okay.
I think she was.
I was like, am I reading into this? Because
there's a whole backstory where Lucy's mum's not in the vault.
No,
she's gone off, and she's got memories of her from when she was little.
Yeah, but she thinks she was outside, which she was because she was in
Sandy Shores.
Yeah,
And then you get revealed at the end that the mum came back, took the Lucy and her brother to Sandy Shores to live because they realized that people had started living on the surface in a, you know, a proper utopian
way.
Yeah,
like there's radiation, but it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. They can start society again, which is the whole point of a vault, essentially. Yeah. Start society again. So the mum took the kids out there to go, cool, we can actually live outside the vault. This is great. The dad got wind of that.
He's this is against my plans.
I'm losing control. I want everyone to be in control under the vault. So what he does is he lets off another nuke yet again. So, you know, rinse, repeat what happens time and time again. So that society gets exploded. The mum turns into a ghoul and he takes the kids back, which I think is a great crossover storyline with Maximus's storyline because he was also living in Sandy Shores as a kid.
What is it called? Shady Sands?
Shady Sands, Sandy Shores. what are we saying? Like, it's some type of Treasure Island reference.
It's Shady Sands.
Shady Sands.
Sorry, I think I stopped you and then we just kept making up.
Crossing over. So yeah, he was living in Shady Sands with his family and then when the nuke went off, not unrelated knowing that it's Lucy's dad who did it, he obviously saved himself by doing an Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull stay inside the lead-lined refrigerator to survive a nuke.
I wondered about, I was like, this is familiar. I couldn't work out the reference for a second.
Indiana Jones 4, which I thought was kind of cool. But he survives it. He gets found by the Brotherhood once the bombs exploded and then he joins the Brotherhood.
I do like that within this show, there's a lot of social commentary in the sense of like, no matter how society tries to rebuild and this is the best way, everyone's kind of corrupt in their own little pocket anyway, because obviously the vaults
even the Brotherhood
corrupt,
is.
The Brotherhood's corrupt.
Yeah.
Old mate with her cult, Moldova.
They're
not great. Like, you know, it's all kind of like humans are messy and there's no ideal society if we did want to make it.
We're all self-serving to a degree.
Capitalism.
That's literally why they dropped the bombs.
Yeah.
Because they were like, how do we fund war? Continue it. Boom. How do we beat our competitors? Time.
Let's not look into that too much.
Yeah, I thought that was genius though.
No, it is genius because,
how did you find the like the filming of it, like the sound design, that how it was actually made as a TV show?
No, I liked it. They put money in.
Yeah, exactly. It was budget. Yeah. They actually went out to, I think it's Nigeria, where they
Nollywood.
Yeah.
I think, but no, seriously, it's called, it's bigger than Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah, Nollywood. Nigerian's Hollywood. Maybe not so much now, but I know when I was in uni, it was bigger than Hollywood.
That's what they used
to film. Just no one's seen their stuff in the West.
We just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. They filmed a bunch of stuff on that. It's an old mining town that's just been left to become a ghost town, and that's what they kind of filmed most of the desert scenes where those eradicated houses are.
Oh, cool.
They're actually there. They didn't build those sets. That's actual houses that are out in the desert, which I think is really awesome.
Yeah, they did well in this. Obviously, a lot of it would have been
Soundstage. Well, the vault stuff, obviously,
but that's meant to look like that. So it's genius, actually. But I did enjoy, there was a lot of practicals. You could tell there was practicals because even though there was some stuff that was so like way out there, like, you know, like the radioactive lake with the fish thing and whatever. Yeah, like,
that was a bit of CGI.
That's obviously CG, but enough of the rest of it
was real.
Felt lived in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I can definitely say is I was happy with the design to make it look like an actual Fallout game. Like, they put money into it. Amazon obviously backed it. And it's the second highest Amazon TV original streaming numbers.
Really?
Yep, second highest.
Good for them.
65 million hours or something? I don't know what it is. It's huge anyway. So no surprises it's getting a second season. Very good. Very good. I'm very excited for the second one. I think they'll probably introduce more characters because obviously the three – the dog needs to be in it more. So that's a huge reference to Fallout 4. What your first companion as the vault dweller, you come out, you meet Dog Meat, the dog, and he becomes your companion and helps you out and beat enemies and stuff. And he finds things. It's the same dog too. It's a German Shepherd. So that's an exact reference from Fallout 4.
No, I am curious to see where they go with it. Because like as much as it wasn't a show for me, I didn't hate it or anything like that. Like it wasn't like I disliked it. I just think, you know, some things are for you and some things aren't.
Yeah, exactly. I think
if they can go down the route that, like, not to compare it, but to compare it because it is game to film.
Last of Us.
Yeah, what hooked me with that, and I think they did that really well, is they got the emotional stuff in Last of Us immediately. I know that it's story-based, that game, like, very much.
It's very much linear. So you're getting the story of the game, whereas this is a world.
Forgetting that, what they did really well is, like, I was hooked immediately. Yeah. I was emotionally invested, so I would have got so much of that just because I cared for the characters in it. And I think if they can get a little bit more of that in season two, they'll have a higher cult following of people that aren't the fans of the game.
Yeah, because like, that's the be enough best thing that both, Last of Us did was, you know? I think it found an audience of people that completely hadn't played the games at all.
Yeah.
Because it is just telling a story. It doesn't have to be about the gamey stuff at all. Whereas Fallout is kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got a story. Like I said, like even Fallout 4 where you're trying to find your son, it definitely takes second base to just being immersed in the world and just doing your own thing.
Yep.
Like, you can do, once you're out of the vault, you can go anywhere at your own leisure. And that's the beauty of a Fallout game, because it's just it's the world they've created for you to sandbox in. And that's kind of hard when a TV show needs to make a linear story about some certain characters. It's going to be a harder journey.
Yeah. And that's kind of, that's the thing is my take on it.
Yeah,
it's
I think
it wasn't bad, but as someone who wasn't a fan of it, I think if they can manage to give a decent story and serve the fans, match made in heaven. I don't think it's quite there yet.
We'll see what happens with New Vegas season two, et cetera, because that is considered one of the best games in the season, in the series. And it's not even made by the main people who make it. So Fallout 1 and 2 was a PC, like, kind of God view version of a game, and it was made by this studio. I don't even think it's around anymore. And then for Fallout 3 or before Fallout 3, Bethesda Studios bought it, so Bethesda's got some other huge games like Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, that kind of stuff. So they made Fallout 3, and it was pretty huge. It was pretty good. It was pretty successful. And then while they were making Fallout 4, they kind of gave this other studio like rights to go, okay, we need you to make a Fallout game in between while we're making 4, because it's going to take a while. So they made Obsidian made this game called Fallout New Vegas, and it's considered like the best Fallout game, like better than 3, and even like people like it more than 4 when 4 came out. And yeah, it's not even made by the main studio.
Whoopsies.
So it's got a huge amount of love for the New Vegas storyline. So when they added that little teaser right at the end of the show, everyone would have got hooked. They were kind of like fans of the Fallout season. That's New Vegas. So
I will say the people that made or wrote the show Fallout, a lot of what they've done is Portlandia, which is comedy and just Fred Armisen. And
yeah, he was in it. That's true.
The girl's from Sleater-Kinney. Anyway, I can't think of her name.
Yeah, I forgot who was in it as well.
But it's so like bizarre.
Natasha Lyonne's ex?
It's like, it's more bit because it's more sketch type. So I can understand why the tone of it, of Fallout, like they were good to get that sort of comedic tone. But I think that's why they sort of fell maybe flat with the drama potentially.
Which is surprising because obviously this was created by Jonathan Nolan. So Christopher Nolan's brother who did Westworld.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's the same creator world as Westworld has done this Fallout series. And obviously they had a strong connection to the people making the game. So Todd Howard, who is the head of Bethesda, was like an executive producer or something of this. Like, he was involved in like, we want this. This is what you, there's a one point they were like, oh, you have this in at the moment. Can you take it out? That's actually a big part of what Fallout 5 is going to be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they were consulting with the people who made the games as well. So, like, there was love there. And there's, like, obviously Jonathan Nolan's, like, really, like, prestige and huge. Like, Westworld season one was, like, considered one of the best TV shows, you know, seasons ever as well. Yeah, I think that it's surprising, though. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely curious. Yeah, like, I do want to see where it goes because I am introduced to this world now. And it's
you are
like,
now, so you probably will watch season
like
two.
It's, like, confusing in a, intriguing way. Like, I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
And that's the best part of it because, it's a self-discovery game as well, like, series. You don't know everything at the start. You don't drip fed it. You might go do this storyline, but, you know, it would have been better to kind of do that storyline first because you might get something that can make this one better. But it's all on your own. You're all going to work it out on your own. It's completely open world.
Part of me wants to be a gamer, but then the other part of me just goes, you don't have time.
A lot of it is time-based, especially a game like this would probably take about 75 hours to complete.
Oh, my God, I have so much I need to do.
Mm. Like, obviously, you can go anywhere, quote-unquote. There's always one part of the map where the bomb went off.
Yeah.
And your little Pip-Boy, the thing that you wear on your arm, it'll start, like, doing that little, like, rads thing.
Yep.
If you get too close. So, obviously, it... And that gets easier when you get closer. If you get power armor and stuff like what Max was wearing, you can go through that area. So it does kind of limit you at the start. It like soft restricts you basically. Yeah. So you do certain things earlier.
Yeah, of course.
Because if you literally went from like walk from where the vault is down to where the bomb went off, you'd just die. You'd just die from rads.
Yeah.
So, or something like a Deathclaw would be there and just kill you instantly.
I need to Google Deathclaw.
It's, yeah.
It's the same as you're like, oh no, don't look up what happens in The Last of Us 2. I'm like, I already know something. You're like,
I already did.
I'm like, there's years. Okay. Like,
speaking of which, did you see some of the set shots of season 2?
I scroll past.
Like Dina's, Isabella Mercedes, mm-hmm. Dina.
Yeah, I sort of scroll past because I'm like,
we'll see it when it's seen.
Yeah,
it's
I like out. Not like, knowing. Yeah, I'm kind of off internet a bit. Like,
well, here's the thing, because I've played the game.
I'm not in deep right now. I'm just deciding to like, I know, just enjoy
what's going to happen. So therefore I'm like, I just want to see it now. Like, it, like, yeah, okay, you've announced who's going to be play these parts. Cool, that's fantastic. Stop showing me set, you know, set pictures. I just want to see it.
No, I completely, sorry, I'm just looking at what a Deathclaw is.
Did you see a picture of it?
Yeah.
It's pretty monstrous, like, isn't it?
It's weird. It's like, oh, that's what it reminds me of. Remember Scooby-Doo, the things in Scooby-Doo? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's a Scooby-Doo villain. No, no, that's, don't get too close to a Deathclaw. Yeah.
What are they called in Scooby-Doo?
I know. Yeah, they're just the monsters. In from the first movie. One. Yeah, they look very similar to that kind of. Yeah, very similar. Except these things are bloody strong in the game. They will nearly one hit you.
Oh yeah, no, I can tell just by looking at it.
Take up, go near them.
Yeah, I wouldn't hang out.
Wouldn't hang out with the Deathclaw. Quote of the day: wouldn't hang out with the Deathclaw.
Wouldn't hang out with the Deathclaw. I mean, like, maybe if we were friends first, but I just don't see that happening.
There was a reference to one in there. You know when he's walking up to go to New Vegas?
Old mate.
Yeah, yeah. The dad in the power suit that he steals.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
There's a skull of a Deathclaw.
Oh,
that's what he walks past, and it turns, and then it's when you see. So it means both those things are going to be in the second.
Yeah. See, there are a lot of moments like that where I was just like,
Yeah,
like
see, that has no relevance to you. I would start zoning out, just a skull,
and
then
I was like, oh no, hang on, pay more attention. Because it wasn't like visual like cute, stimulus to be like, hey, this is cool for me. Yeah. It was just like, oh yeah, they're just.
Yeah, even the big, you know, the big Brotherhood of Steel ship, the big one?
Vaguely. See, I wasn't looking out for anything. Yeah, I'm like, huge reference in
the fourth game.
I am curious. Like, that's what I mean. There's a lot that I like, every time they would reveal a bit of like dramatic stuff, I was like,
yeah,
because that was all I could understand the sense of like
the actual story based urgency. Yeah.
So I'd be like, oh, cool. I did find what was super interesting was the three vault. I think that was one of my favorite stories.
Really cool. Because yeah, actually,
without knowing anything, you're on the journey with him.
Mm.
You know as much as he knows. Well, vaguely, pretty much as much as he knows. And so you're like, it's a tangible thing if you've not watched. Played the games.
Well, literally.
To follow. You're like, I understand. Because he's never been to the
surface, so he doesn't know what's going on up there. This is literally it.
I'm like, I understand what his direct motive is in here, and I can see the conflict as it's happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a strong story.
That was the mystery I was actually really into. I really wanted to find out what was in Vault 31. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I kept watching for it. It was really cool. And then the reveal was kind of cool too. Yeah.
Very early you realize like something's amiss.
It's so weird here. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know about this. Here. You're all happy, but I don't know about this. This is false. It's false hope. Anyone that's too happy, I'm
false
like.
False hope. I don't like you. Sinister I don't like here, you.
Because like, yeah, I like a good healthy dose of reality.
Yeah. And I loved, like he looked up obviously a bunch of like computer terminals to find some information out. Now computer terminals are scattered throughout the games everywhere, and you can find out a bunch of information, but it's bloody hard to like hack into them. But the screens look all the same as what he was doing and stuff.
Old school computers,
yeah, where you have to hack in and pick a word where it's like actually works and that actually unlocks it, exactly the same as the games. So I was like, that's cool. I saw Run comment being like, the brother only found things out like any of us would if we actually used one of the terminals in the games, because you never do, you just walk off. But a bunch of the stories in those things as well. Like you actually find out a bunch of stuff about the area that you're in.
I want to know what old love with the eye patches is up to.
Mm.
I don't like her.
I don't trust her either.
And then old mate Chet, the cousin, whatever. He's like,
I think he's just accepted the fact he's fake kind of thing. Yeah. I think he's just like, I know something's not right here,
but I don't I'm know
too
about
weak
it.
Of a character to do anything about it. So I think he's just riding the train, and he knows if he's with her because she's so gung-ho about something.
He's sort of safe.
He's kind of safe.
Yeah, so
I'll raise someone else's kid.
That was a weird scene too when they're...
Yeah. Yet again, vibe was perfect.
Gonna go at it. And then I was like, okay.
Oh, okay.
He's yeah. like, oh, and I'm like, no, brother, this is not what you think this is.
No, brother.
Something's happening.
No. Yeah. Did you find so it weird. Really like jarring to have those two act across from each other, the brother and the cousin? Because mm-hmm. he's like 10 foot tall, the yeah. cousin. And then the brother, who's not a tall man at all.
He's not grown since he was a child on TV.
He's so short. And then having them in the same scene, I'm like, you're going to have a wide shot. Pull that back.
Yeah, it was.
It was very jarring.
Yeah.
Although I did a really good job in acting the short guy.
He did. Yeah.
It was good. He's just really short.
Since Hannah Montana back.
Yeah.
Way.
When he had the mullet haircut that everyone had at that age.
Yeah.
He
nearly had that.
Oh,
week
I absolutely had that haircut.
He had it a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah, true. I had a haircut
since.
You were
getting close. Yeah, no, he was good. But
he was good, yeah.
Maybe that is the point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Casting's interesting.
It was just an odd choice because even the cousin was towered over Lucy, Ella
Purnell.
He Purnell.
Was very tall. You could have got
very
someone
tall.
In the middle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But also, does it matter?
Not really, because he did a fine job in the act. Like, he played the role perfectly. Mm. He's just a really tall guy. It was really hard to watch sometimes.
You're like...
But I do want to say, I think you mentioned it earlier, was Walter Goggins' school character was probably the best in all of these characters. Just so layered. And getting his story right at the end, like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, except for where his family goes, but like his
kind of drive. Oh, that scene when you go on it and you're not sure if he's eating their kid or else.
Oh,
grim.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I'm desensitized.
And then
I've
he's
seen people
like,
eat people
you think
before.
I'm, yeah, he just yeah. says that. He's like, you think I'm that bad?
And you're like, kind of. I'm
kind
not
of,
sure.
You've been made out to be that bad so far, but yeah. And then he shoots the brother anyway. It's like, gull.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of real gore just sporadically thrown into this show. Like one minute it's like,
and then
the next minute you're like, oh God, okay.
And then it's also made fun of, like with the character where he's like, you cut off my head. And then it's the head, like who's got the head is like half the season.
Yeah, there's so much going on. It's a weird world.
It's a very weird world. It's classic.
The tone is
classic Fallout.
Is very like back and forth. One minute's one thing, the next minute's another. It's like Whiplash.
Because that's exactly how it plays out. It's the same as like, I guess the false, like what governments do, I guess, is like, we're all sinister, but like here's a glossy, like we're okay. It's like the same vibe as as the actual TV show or the game. It's like, oh yeah, walk around, it's okay. And then like you're just immediately shooting off someone's limb. It's like it's very juxtaposed.
Yeah. There's moments where even what's her name? I've forgotten her name now.
Lucy?
Lucy, that's it. Yeah, when she gets the whatever it is that stops them get turning more ghoulish.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm not you. And she just gives him some. I'm like, I would have kept some as leverage. Like, I'm not that good.
So you're instantly like, you'd be fine in the wasteland.
I was like, not to say that like I wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is leverage. You could get one thing.
I think
out of him.
She's trying to say at that point, she's like, I'm not you yet.
Yeah. She's trying to save herself. Yeah, but I was
it's
like,
more for herself than anything else.
I'd be like, one thing from you, sir, please.
I just lost my finger. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, like one for one. Yeah. You can have it, but, I maybe wouldn't have given him all. I would have kept some. She gave him everything.
Well, he walked. He only. Well, there's more inside.
I know.
He only needed enough to like kind of get back up.
I am fascinated with her. I'm like, I would have taken more supplies at that point.
Yeah.
She kind of just goes along.
There
with
is nothing. A carry limit in the game. So if you carry too much, you walk really slow. So there could be just something to do with that.
Maybe.
Yeah. There is a carry limit.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, be more prepared, girl. Like, you got some stuff. Get some loot.
Yeah.
I've thought about this.
You really have, haven't you, since watching this?
No, this is just me always.
Oh, always? Okay.
Yeah, I had little to do as a kid. Sometimes I would make
if there was a
weapons out
if
of
there
sticks.
Was a apocalyptic nuclear war. What did you say? Is something about sticks?
Sometimes I just we'd sharpen sticks on rocks and make weapons.
Okay.
I lived in the country. I didn't have anything to do.
Terrifying. You're a terrifying human. Do you still
like,
have a shiv?
You're like, no. But no. I know how to make one.
No, but I can make one.
I did.
Okay,
once.
You do very well in prison.
I've thought about it. Yeah. I've got a plan for prison.
Oh, like I'm sure you do. Orange is the new black.
Yeah, well, my whole thing is like if I go in for a while, right, there's a lot of years before this new prison. We had a lot, you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a lull.
Yeah, it's like zombies.
What else am I going to do in there except read books, get ripped, write.
I would get ripped, I think.
Maybe find love. Who knows? What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do?
Type away.
Yeah.
Maybe not type away. Write away.
No, you get to
come up
with computers.
I don't know what you're gonna get by the time I'm in prison. by that point, I can sell a show.
You could sell a show. You'd have more time to focus.
Exactly.
Why don't you go to prison?
It, look, if all else fails.
I might have to.
It's a career plan.
You don't have to worry about work. You have one focus. You have all the time in the world.
I've thought about it a bit.
Yeah. I think you're onto something there.
You're like,
you
do well.
I think you do very well. Do better than now.
except that it's all high school and women's prison and I'm not really into that. But then my work...
It's the same
my work's like high school, I've just admitted that.
Yeah.
I was going to keep that out of the podcast, but it's gone.
That's the self-actualizing.
Yeah, listen, I got plans for the future.
Yeah, don't we all?
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our Fallout.
Yeah, that was Fallout, and I'm very excited for season two.
Me, I'm curious for season two. I'm not as excited as you, but I guess that makes sense.
I've actually installed Fallout 4 again on my PlayStation.
Cool.
So it's actually...
I don't know how to add this.
It's got me in the vibe to play it again. It came out 9-8 years ago.
Yeah, I'm bad at gaming.
Yeah.
We discovered that on Power Wash Simulator.
Oh my God, that was amazing. All you did was wash a car and you struggled with that.
I drew a picture.
Oh, you did. Well, all right, we'll move on from that.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to us babble. If you'd like to find us on any other socials, we can be found on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at BingeList, or you can email us the old school way at BingeList and boxofficehits@gmail.com. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you.